and doing my best to keep the seat warm for George Norrie. I'll be back again tomorrow night, or this morning, or rather tonight, later tonight, if you will. And I'll be speaking with professor of biology and the host of Animal Planet's Monsters Inside Me, Dan Riskin. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Dan has just written a book called Mother Nature is Trying to Kill You. And he's going to share some jaw-dropping examples that really illuminate how brutal nature can truly be, from slothful worms that hide in your body for up to 30 years to wrathful snails with poisonous harpoons. So looking forward to that one. In the first hour, investigative journalist John Rappaport will be here to talk about a whistleblower at the Centers for Disease Control who recently admitted through his attorney that he left out vital data in a 2004 vaccine study. It's an important story, and it deserves a wide audience, and John Rappaport will be here to tell you all about it. When we come back, open lines for the duration. We'll continue on with the near-death stories, near-death experiences. I don't think we're going to shut that one down anytime soon. But I'd like to also throw a little log on the fire and ask you about surviving a lightning strike. I mentioned a couple of years ago I was producing a documentary for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation up here, CBC Radio, and I visited an orthopedic surgeon in upstate New York who was, as you can imagine, a workaholic. He was just so wrapped up in his career as an orthopedic surgeon, he thought of little else. And then in 1994, at a family gathering in New York, he was struck by lightning, had the near-death experience, the whole nine yards. And when he came back into his body, he had this song stuck inside his brain. But it wasn't a song that he'd heard on the radio. This was an original composition. He had no formal musical training, certainly not classical music. And this song invaded his dreams. He became obsessed with it. And so he tried as best he could to get it down on paper, but it wasn't enough. So he started taking classical piano lessons. Now in his 40s or early 50s, he woke up every morning at 4 o'clock. He found a teacher that would teach him piano. And eventually, he attained a proficiency in piano so he could actually compose this piece. And he performed it and recorded it. And it's called the Lightning Sonata. It ended up, this obsession with classical music, actually breaking up his family. But he and his ex-wife have since reunited. But it's an absolutely remarkable story. And I'm sure for you, survivors of lightning strikes, you have equally remarkable stories, and perhaps you'll care to share when we come back. Richard Serrett, in for George Norrie, here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett sitting in for George Norrie, and we have open lines for the duration. And let's pick it up on the wild card line. Eddie is in Los Angeles. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning. How's it going?
Very well, thank you, sir.
I had a near-death experience about 5 years ago. I was struck in the head with a star orb. I don't know if you're familiar with those. They're by Dr. Fred Bell. They're a brass object, weighs about 4 or 5 pounds, with pointed corners. And I was struck in the head. I was attacked. And I fell to my knees and then hit the left side of my face on the ground. And I blacked out. And at that point, I was just consciousness, and I saw my body on the ground as I was floating upward. And then that became the memory tunnel. I went down like a tunnel where I could see my whole life at once. And that's where the 360 vision came in. And I was able to see everything. And like, and it's hard because you want to focus on one memory, but you want to see everything at once. And once that passed, I went to a table where I had both my grandfathers, who were deceased by that time, and another relative. And they had a look of surprise on their face, like I wasn't supposed to be there. And they told me that it was too soon for me to be there. And then they had like a look of pity, like, we're going to have to send you back right now. And I begged them to let me stay. And then after that serene white space where, you know, that omnipotence was, where you know everything, you feel everything, I knew I was already buried back on Earth, but this space was so beautiful. I knew everything served its purpose, and I don't want to go back, but they sent me back. And then all of a sudden, I found myself in this giant red sea of debris where I couldn't breathe with my head above water, but yet I could swim. And I tried to put my head underwater. I felt like an animal just trying to eat, survive. And when I finally put my head underwater, then it went black. Then all of a sudden, I was floating about 2 feet above the ground, and I saw my body on the ground. And when I was floating at that time, I was consciousness again. And then all of a sudden, I was back in my body, barely being able to move, you know, until I got up and got out of there.
Any idea how long you were out for, Eddie?
It was a puddle of blood about 12 to 15 feet wide. So maybe that's 20 minutes. I was bleeding out of the top of my head.
And surely, because of the condition you were in, there must have been people gathered around you trying to assist you.
It was inside a private business. It was after hours. I was attacked by a business partner who, he had mental problems. He was actually my brother. And, you know, so there was no witnesses. But I had to get out of there because as soon as I came back, a voice told me, if you want to live, you have to get out of here right now. And I just ran covered in blood down the alley.
That's quite a remarkable story. I mean, you had the whole, you know, nine yards. You had the memory tunnel, the life review. You met the deceased relatives. They told you to go back. How did this change your life? I mean, it must have. How did it change your life?
Well, I was running a marijuana business at that time that I wound up closing. I went back to school. I'm an honor roll student now. I'm a scholar. I've spoken at UC Berkeley, UC Irvine. Basically, I learned to follow my passion, you know, because I thought I wanted to run a business, but then I felt like a prisoner, and this kind of freed me of that. I just rearranged my whole life. And then what's strange is everything in that day before that experience, if you ask me what I wanted to do then, I'm doing now, which is, you know, music professionally and successfully, and just surreal to, you know, be living like in this dream.
I appreciate the call, Eddie. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night. Wildcard line. This time, Gregory is in Shreveport, Louisiana. Gregory, good morning. Welcome aboard.
Yes, sir. I've been waiting to speak to you guys. I guess I'll go with the near-death experience first.
All right.
I was probably like 12 years old, 11 to 12. Not going to go into details, but I was shot a couple times. And I remember getting into the ambulance. I remember being at the hospital. And after being, I was in my room, laying in the bed. And all of a sudden, I saw the doctors rush in, coming to get me. I'm like, and my actual words, I cursed. I was like, what the F are they doing? Why are they taking me? Where are they taking me? So next thing I know, I got out the bed. But they continued going down the hallway. I was like, hey, where y'all going? How are y'all going? And I looked. I was like, I'm still in the bed. But I'm talking to them. And they're not listening. I just see all these doctors and stuff rushing by me. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, what is going on? And some little kid sitting on a bench said something to me. So I was like, you can see me? And it's like, yeah. I was like, well, why they can't see me? Because we're dead. And it was like, okay. And next thing you know, I see like this lady come down the hallway, and the lady was looking at me and stuff, and we began talking, and I can't hardly remember exactly what we ended up, just how the conversation started, but she told me that she was my grandmother, and that I was like, wow, I feel so good. That's what I told her. I felt like I felt so good. It was like I was drunk and high at the same time. I was like, is it like this all the time? She was like, yeah. I was like, well, what can we do? I was just like amazed. I was like, what can we do? What can I just go anywhere and do whatever I want to do? I feel like I can fly and all this type of stuff. So she just explained to me, she was like, yeah, it's like I was like, do they, I actually asked her at that time, I was smoking weed and stuff. So I asked her, I was like, can we smoke weed and drink? Because I felt like that's how I feel right now. She was like, you just actually feel like that. And I was like, well, I'm cursing. I was like, is that okay? She's like, you're going to be your natural self. You're just out of your body. Your spirit is your spirit. So I was like, wow.
Did she ask you whether you wanted to go back or not, or how did you get back into your body?
Well, it was, I asked her, could I go with her? And she was like, no, it's too much for you to do here. She was like, you need to stay. I was like, but I feel it. And she was like, just go back. I was like, well, okay. And I had to ask somebody where my body was, because by that time when I turned around, I saw my body go around the corner, and I had to run, and they was like, it's that way, and you got to hurry up and get back in it. So I was like, well, she kind of walked me around, and we walked together talking, and she was like, don't worry about anything. You're going to have angels watching over you. We're watching over you. And don't worry about the people that did you wrong, because we're waiting for them. So don't worry about that.
Where was your body, on the way to the morgue?
No, my body was, I think it was like a surgery room or something. I actually worked at the same hospital, and I think I was in that same room now that I think about it.
So you were 12 or 13 at the time, Gregory, and you were a victim of a shooting, is that right?
Yes.
My word. How did this change your life?
It really didn't. I mean, it was just like I got up. I remember getting back. I remember, like, the doctors working on me and stuff. I can't remember how it was. Like, I asked, do I open the door to walk in, or how do I go to? She said, just walk through. So I walked through, and I remember getting on top of the gurney and just laying back down. And then I just kind of remember waking up back in my room, and they, you know, telling everybody what, you know, when I woke up, I told everybody what happened and what I had seen. And I actually kind of remember before even the doctors rushing in, like flying outside of the hospital and stuff, like just. I was like, I got all this energy. I remember, like, I sat up out the bed. I was like, I'm not hurt anymore. The bullet, I mean, I don't feel any pain. So I got up. I sat at the edge of the bed. Then I was like, wow. I looked out the window, and I was like, wow. I stuck my head out of the window.
Gregory, after all of this, you mean to tell me that it didn't change your life, not even one iota?
No, I really, I mean, I was just, I mean, it was just like this, you're the same person. And that's the one of the things I can remember that, you know, my grandmother told me. She was like, you're the same person, your spirit, your mind, the way you think, the way you act, you're going to remain the same.
But did it affect the way you perceive death? Are you afraid of death?
I always have been, but it's like, it's always been like, It's more of a courage thing. Like, I get mad or angry or something like that, and it's like, no, I'm not. No, that's not happening to me. You know what I mean? And then it's more of, you know, doing weak points or times of worrying and thinking about things, and then you're scared. But I've been in a lot of life or death situations where I actually been like, oh, hold up, nah. I'm, you know, my anger, my courage comes in, so.
All right, Gregory, a remarkable story, and thank you for sharing that. Let's see, we have Bonnie in Miami, Florida. Good morning, Bonnie. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Richard. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay, great. First-time caller, and I was prompted to call because I heard some of the individuals that spoke about their experience mentioned parts that were similar to mine that I haven't read in books and stuff, and I thought I was really interested with it.
All right. Can you give me an example? What have you heard from other callers that rang true for you?
Well, primarily one of the things that got me was the beings of light. Normally, people see like deceased loved ones or Jesus or something like that. I didn't see that. I also didn't go through a tunnel. I was I had fallen off a ladder, and I punctured underneath an arm, and I thought I was okay. And I told my coworker, don't call rescue, just take me over to the stations down the street. And he started to take me. I was in the vehicle, and I lost consciousness, but I was immediately transported to the, it's like a street of light. I was in a garden, and everything was made of light. And next to me was a building, kind of like a Roman or Greek building, made of light. And all of a sudden, I became aware that I had all the knowledge of the universe. And I said, well, let me test it. And I started asking myself questions like, you know, what's the need for suffering? Why do people die? You know, all this stuff. And I started laughing at it because I already knew the answer before I even answered it. I already knew that I had all the knowledge of the universe. But they told me, and by the way, communication happens telepathically. I don't know if anybody else mentioned that, but it's all telepathically. You know, they don't really speak in words. The thought just is sent to your mind. And but the thought came to me that I was not allowed to keep this knowledge when I came back, and that I had to come back. Because one of the other callers also mentioned about the overwhelming sense of love, of the feeling of well-being and love. It's incredible.
Right.
And I didn't want to come back at all. And they told me, no, I had to come back because I still had too much learning to do.
And what have you done with your second chance?
Well, I've progressively, this happened about 20, 25 years ago. Obviously, I was a lot younger and I was pretty immature, and I realize now that I was very selfish. And what I have tried to do is progressively, you know, that thing like progressive improvement, continuous improvement. I try to be the best person that I can be. I try to help all those that I can. Whenever I meditate now, and I ask a question, the answer has always come back, love others, love others, love others. And that's what I got from it.
Appreciate the call, Bonnie. Thank you for sharing. All the knowledge of the universe. Now, where was my near-death experience during my grade 10 chemistry final? That's all I want to know. Listen, we'll get back to your near-death experiences here on Coast when we continue with our open line segment. Would still love very much to hear from a survivor of a lightning strike. If you've been struck by lightning, and obviously survived to tell the tale, would love to know how it's changed your life. My name is Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Norrie here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay a while. Oh, I got 2 minutes here. My apologies. I got the clock upside down here. All right, we fixed that. Let's move along, and we can squeeze in Brenda in Homestead, Florida, real quick. Brenda, good morning.
Good morning, Richard. How are you, sir?
Well, thanks. Aside from not being able to tell time, I'm doing just top drawer. Thank you.
Hey, that works. Yeah. It kind of creeped me when I realized that this happened 35 years ago. I was 17, as I told your screener, and I was in basic training, almost finished up. And this was embarrassing, sat on a bee. And as a kid, I got stung by a bee and just swelled, so I didn't think anything of it. But shortly after that, I call it the big bear hug. You get anaphylaxis, starts choking out your throat, your chest,
oh,
like someone's crushing you. It's just really, you know.
Right, well,
my
that's a scary feeling.
Been there a few times, but... Only near death, thank God, or excuse me, once. Anyway, my sergeant was walking by, and I guess I passed out at that point. No, I was not fully passed out. He scooped me up, and I remember the look on his face, and I was just like, I just could not breathe no matter how much air was on the planet. And at first he brought me into the whole thing, what looked like a rec room, and put me on a pool table, and that's where I lost it. I disappeared. They brought me into the hospital, I guess, at that point, because my next thing was, I was over me, and it's kind of weird. I know they were talking at 360. I'm getting goose pimples rethinking this. And so, but in my case, it's kind of like you take your eyeballs out of your head and just stick them over you, if that makes sense. And I saw the doctor and the nurse on either side of me, that near the shoulders, head, whatever. He dropped something. I don't know if it was an EpiPen or what have you, but he yelled at the nurse, telling her she's incompetent or whatever, and she just had this look. And he picked it up, slammed it on the little table, and then picked up something else, I'm guessing epinephrine. Then he stopped pounding on me and then zapped me like 3 times.
Brenda, let me get you to hold on here. I want to hear more of this story. It's a remarkable tale of a near-death experience. Brenda will join us after the break here from Homestead, Florida. This time we're going to a break, and I mean it. And Ray Charles will take us out here on Coast to Coast AM. Sitting in for George Norrie and happy to be here. Just want to remind you, you know, there's nothing like live radio, but not everybody, let's face it, not everybody can stay up to 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning and function the next day. So for you people, we've got this great, amazing deal for 15 cents a day. If you buy the 1-year subscription, it works out to 15 cents a day. Become an insider, a coast-to-coast insider, and you gain access. Not only will you have last night's show or tonight's show waiting for you the next day, and you'll be able to listen to it, you know, during the daylight hours, you're also going to be able to access over 1,000 other shows. And as an insider, you can go back 5 years to listen to shows. And you'll have access, of course, to the monthly live chats with George and other guests. So again, 15 cents a day. Go to coasttocoastam.com and sign up now. Become a Coast to Coast AM insider. All right, let's get back with Brenda, who's in Homestead, Florida. Brenda, you were telling us about your near-death experience. You got stung by a bee. You went into anaphylactic shock. And at some point, you were taken to a hospital, and let's pick it up from there.
Yeah, as I had mentioned, I passed out, I blacked out, or what have you, in the rec room from what I last remember. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I remember and can cognitively recognize was, it was like you took my eyeballs out and just stuck them over me, like about 20 feet above my body, midpoint near the knees. And I'm watching this, and the nurse and the doctor, opposite side of the table around my shoulders, and he was pumping on me, and he dropped something. Now, I mean, this is what still, I guess, irked me, because the nurse wasn't doing anything, and he called her incompetent. So then he picks whatever it was up, slams it on that little tray table with a blue pad on it or whatever, and he grabbed something else and stabbed me with it. I'm going to guess it was epinephrine. And then he paddled me, put this goo on, and in about the third one, all of a sudden I felt this pull. And it was kind of weird, because there was a deeper me that didn't want to go down. Not that I saw God or the light. I didn't see any of that. But I felt so comfortable, and like there was never going to be another worry in the world. I don't know how to describe it. It was a very lofty feeling. Well, all of a sudden, I started waking up, and there was this enormous pain, and I was told later it was from the stupid paddles. And I said, oh, shit, excuse me. You know, I said, man, I made that. I didn't die. He goes, oh, yeah, we do things right. And I'm like, uh-huh. And I said, wait a minute. I'm kind of confused here. I said, I was over here, over me. He goes, no, it didn't happen. I said, no, you dropped something, and then you yelled at the nurse. And by the way, you were rude. And he looked at me, he goes, didn't happen. Everybody, it's a brain thing. Forget it. Well, I'm back in my room. I reestablished this to him, and he yelled at me again. No jerk. He's like 60, 70. He left. Well, the nurse was outside the room and heard some of this. She came in, that particular nurse, and she looked around and quietly said, no, you were out of your body. You were dead. You were flatlined for like 40 seconds. I go, flatline, what's that? Because I was 17. She goes, you were dead. I went, dead. She goes, yeah, that bee got you. Oh. You know, I just kind of went, ooh. Well, the weird thing about it is I was raised in poverty. I was told you're never going to get there from here. And I was already starting to redirect my own life so I could maybe get somewhere by going in the Army. Well, all of a sudden, I became, and this is why, another reason I called, a lot of people are saying the same thing. I became what they called an overachiever. And I didn't realize my IQ is 147, whatever that means, but I ended up having more pilot licenses and mechanic and aviation licenses than most people in the country. I had a tri career. I was in federal law enforcement, aviation, accident investigation, and instruction. And I just retired 20 years quite comfortably because I pre-planned everything. But I've always got my fingers in things. Now I'm teaching myself violin, guitar, and dulcimer, as well as programming. I mean,
you are a renaissance woman. Do you ascribe any of that, or subscribe any of that to your near-death experience, the success you've had later in life?
I think I do, because here's the other thing that creeped me out. About a week later, I'm at home just getting ready to go to bed. I wasn't super tired, so I know it wasn't like I conked out and it was a dream. My grandmother died when I was like 11 or 12. She kind of raised me. Beautiful, wonderful woman. She was like 85 or so, 86. But the thing is, I only always knew her with the gray hair and the wrinkled skin and all this. Never saw any pictures. Well, all of a sudden, at the end of my bed, my room got chilly, and I could smell her apartment. She had this jasmine smell always. She was highly religious. And I saw this young lady with red hair, blue dress, polka dots, and this guy next to her. I'm like, who are you? And she goes, dear, you know who I am. I don't have to tell you. Just know that your time isn't done. You got a lot to do. A lot of people will respect and depend on you. And I'm like, what? And then the room got warm again. The whatever those were, apparitions, disappeared. Well, I told my mother, and she turned white. And I'm like, what the hell? Excuse me, I don't know if I can say that. But she ran upstairs, and I thought I upset her or something, because that was her mom. She came down with her hand shaking, showed me a picture, because my grandfather died in the Pearl Harbor, so I never met him. Maybe that's why the pictures were put away. And then he showed me a picture of my grandmother a few days before she got married in that dress with red hair.
Bingo.
I mean, I just creeped. Yeah.
There well, you go, Brenda. Well, you...
I've had this connection to certain people that I otherwise didn't. It's kind of weird. I can sometimes touch someone and now know when they're going to die and how and when.
Well, Brenda, you obviously took your grandmother's words to heart, and you've done remarkably well for yourself, professionally and otherwise. I appreciate the call. When we come back, we have a couple of lightning strike survivors. Can't wait to hear their stories and yours here on Coast to Coast AM. Hard to imagine, but a bolt of lightning is actually 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun, and yet, by, far and away, most people that are struck by lightning, something on the order of 90% of people struck by lightning actually survive. And my understanding is we have a couple of survivors on the line with us now. Let's see. We're going to go to the wild card line. Glory is in Rockville, Maryland. Good morning, Glory.
Yes, good morning. It was struck by lightning in 1972 in Orlando, Florida, in my bed. It came through the top of the roof down, and then I was thrown, and how I came to the, how I survived it, I was told I probably wouldn't ever talk or walk again. And how I got through it, because on my religion, they told me that when you die, you go, you sleep, and you don't wake up until Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. And my late husband told me, no, you go to a different dimension, and I couldn't understand that. So my story is how this experience changed my life, how I, be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. And then later on, through 3 months of rehabilitation, I got to go home. And then when I went home that evening with my husband and his secretary, I went. We had another lightning thing, and I had drinking for celebration. And I guess during the lightning thing, my body chemically changed from to hypoglycemia, whatever. And I went upstairs, and when I went in a coma, and I swallowed my tongue, and my husband was up there, and how I remember lying, going up to that tunnel, that beautiful tunnel, and I felt so wonderful. And the way that you describe it, there was so much light, so much bright, and so much peace, and people, and they always said, it's not your time. And so I remember when the ambulance came, they put the thing on my heart or whatever, and I swished back into my body, and then I felt this heaviness. But truly, I know that there was a different dimension. Then later on, I went through rehabilitation, and then became a pilot. And just show you how determination and positive thinking, that I'm a piano teacher, and Richard was talking about this doctor who heard this music and wanted to do it. Well, one time when I was taking my nap about 15 years ago, I heard this beautiful tone, and it was way higher than I could ever hum. And during that alpha stage, I went down to the piano and picked out the tune, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And I had a recording thing right next to me, and I punched it, and I just started playing, and I recorded it. And I couldn't have done this, but something transformed in me to know that there is a different dimension, and that life is so beautiful here, and there's a reason for everything, and just to go forward. And so that's what I've done during these years, and I've just, through this experience, I know without a doubt there's a different dimension, and you live beyond.
Glory, I appreciate the call. Thank you for that from Rockville, Maryland. And she managed to tie our two open line topics together. Not only did she survive a lightning strike, but that perhaps, albeit sort of in a delayed way, ultimately led to a near-death experience. We've got another lightning strike survivor, wild card line again, and it's Pam. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Where are you calling
from?
I'm
good. I want you to know you're doing a great job. I love your questions that you ask.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Where are you checking in from, Pam?
Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman, Oklahoma. Now, why is it called the Sooner State?
You know, I'm a Texan. I have... Okay, this is why. When they said people could come to this place and, you know, they could claim some land and build on it and stuff, there was people that came earlier than they were supposed to. They just had a set time they were supposed to, they could get here. And the ones that got here early when they weren't supposed to were called Sooners.
There you go. Well, thank you for explaining that to a crazy Canuck.
Yeah, well, the reason Norman is called Norman is because there was a tree with the word Norman written on it around here somewhere. I mean, the things they do around here are just so weird. Okay, so I'm not here forever, just for a while. Going back home to Texas.
Oh, I thought you were being sort of metaphysical there, because I was going to say,
because I thought, that sounded like the other place. Well, I will go there someday, too, but I haven't been able to get there. I've had, like, a car accident where I should have died. I've had, you know, my roommate dropped a dryer running in the bathtub. When I was in the bathtub, it didn't kill me. It didn't even shock me. And all kinds of stuff, like lightning struck me twice, and I drowned once. I just won't die. I'm like a cockroach. Anyway.
You won't stay down, Pam.
Well, no. Tell me about the lightning thing was really interesting.
Yeah.
I had ECTs before when I stayed awake so long that my body was shutting down and it was going to die. And they gave me ECTs, which they aren't like they used to be, you know, those shows where they show the person getting electrocuted and flopping around. It's not like that. But you do have one seizure, and it wipes out your memory. So you have to learn everything again, and that's what the lightning kind of does.
Well, what were the circumstances the first time you were struck by lightning?
It was Christmas Eve. We were supposed to have this ice storm, and so I heard it raining. I went outside, and I thought, oh, did I hear thunder, I wonder? I don't hear it anymore. So I went out there. It was raining. I was standing there thinking, oh, this is better than snow. I like this. It was kind of cold, but not too bad. Because it hadn't gotten real cold yet, but it was going to. And then all of a sudden, I heard this huge bang, and something felt like it came from under the ground and hit me in the feet, and it knocked me up in the air, and then I thought, I'm going to fall. This is gross. And then the next thing I knew, I was hearing all these wind chimes, real pretty ones, and I'm totally blind, so I don't know colors. I think that I would have seen colors if I knew colors, but I don't, so I guess they didn't want to, you know, freak me out too much. So I heard wind chimes, and then I heard these, what I know now what it is, I found it on the internet, the angels sing, they sound a certain way. And then I heard the music of the spheres that you would hear if you were in outer space. And then I was in this place where there was a this buffet of food, and they said, did you bring chili con queso? And I said, no, I didn't bring anything, I'm sorry. And there was all this food and all these people.
It was
a hospice volunteer. And I work for hospice, sometimes for money, sometimes not. A lot of the hospices can't pay, so I do both. So I saw my hospice patients that were up there in that place, or wherever it is. Maybe it's not up there. And we were talking about the hollow earth, because I said, hey, this reminds me of the hollow earth, because I've been down there too. I study shamanism, and you can go journey down into the hollow earth if you want to and see what it's like down there. It's really cool.
Let's see if I can steer you back, though, to the lightning strike, Pam. I mean, this is all great stuff. But
okay, I was up there in that place for hours, because my seeing eye dog got out and came, and she laid by me. I was just laying on the ground for hours. I didn't know. Because I was somewhere else doing other stuff, talking to people, you know, playing with horses, different things I like. And no one said, do you want to go back? I wouldn't have if they'd have said that. They probably knew, so they didn't ask me. But all of a sudden, you know, after I had been eating that food up there, man, it was good, too. And you could keep eating it. It didn't go away. Like if you had some on your plate, you could just keep eating it, and it wouldn't go away. There was more.
All you can eat takeout.
Love that. Yeah, and the plate was really nice, like nice china, like, you know, not plastic or paper. I was like, who washes all these dishes? And they said, oh, we don't have to wash them. They just disappear when we're finished with them. And so the lightning, it made me have this really high sound in my ears, you know, like a
Tinnitus? Like tinnitus?
TVs used to make, you know, did you ever hear, I'm old, so TVs used to make this really, no, it's really not like that. It's higher than that. It's just about as high as you can imagine.
I know the pitch.
Those hearing tests, you know, when you get that
right.
Really high, the last one you can hear.
I got it. Yeah, when the TV station ends its broadcasting day.
No,
you
no,
would
no.
Hear
no.
That.
I'm talking about the TV itself.
Yes. Okay.
No, no, not the sound it does on the. That's like you could sing that one. That's too low. I'm talking about the sound that used to come out of televisions before they had them where that didn't do that. It was really irritating.
Okay.
But that noise was in my ears, and it was really. It stayed there for a long time. It went away after a while. I don't know why it's in there, but. Also, when they say that everybody's telepathic, they are. You don't have to say anything. And the trees, like they would say, oh, I'm full of apples. Come over here and get one. And the apples would say, come in here and pick one of us. We want to let you taste us. We're so wonderful. And then
so this ability was awakened.
Would talk to you. It was
this
really
ability
cool.
was awakened in you as a result of the lightning strike, you suspect.
I guess I just ran out of time, and they sent me back because I realized I was laying on the ground. It was snowing. It did snow later. I was covered in like 3 inches of snow. I'd been out there for hours, and my dog was laying by me. I would have probably frozen to death otherwise because I was freezing cold. I mean, you go out, and then you're cold because you're unconscious, and then... Since the snow is covering me up, you know, it kind of keeps you warm in a certain way, but you're wet and you're cold. So I couldn't really stand up. My legs are all rubbery and horrible. So I just kind of dragged myself, really shaky hands, and my skin was feeling kind of like it burned on the inside, kind of like if you were in a microwave or something. And I just felt like I wasn't quite all there exactly. It took me a while to get all the way back in there. I don't know what happened that made that happen, but it just took me a while. So I found the door. It was open, and the house was freezing, of course. And the dog and I went in, and I tried to dry us off, but I wasn't very good at it. And we laid on the floor for another few hours until I could do something. And it just took me a really long time to get.
Well, I guess so. You were struck by lightning for crying out loud.
Yeah,
now, we're coming up on the top of the hour here.
I called the hospital where I worked and said, I called the ER and I said, what should a person do if they get struck by lightning? Because I'm real thirsty and I feel hot on the inside and I just don't feel very good.
And they said, what did they say?
You should come call EMS and get them to come get you. I said, no way. I'm not going anywhere. I want to stay home. It's too cold in here. I want to get, it's, needs to get warm in here. I wasn't real rational. I said, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't feel like going anywhere. I want to stay home. And they're like, no, you need to come. Your heart might be weird. I said, well, if it is, it is. I'm not going anywhere. So you get sort of like a feeling of it doesn't really matter. I'm fine. If there's something wrong, we'll find out later. I said, well, my Dr. Holly's out of town, so I want to wait till she comes back. I don't want to see a stranger.
Well, Pam, it had a happy ending because you're still with us among the living, and we're happy for that, and I appreciate your call. We'll continue to delve into lightning, and we'll talk to some more survivors as the Rolling Stones take us into the break with I'm Free. Back with more of Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us.